Good morning, everyone. My name is Gary Johnson, and I'm the Director of Missions here in Miami, Miami-Dade County. You probably don't know what Director of Missions is. I've had the job for 10 years. I haven't figured out what it is either. But I get to work with all the Southern Baptist churches in Miami-Dade County, and there are 400, believe it or not. There are 400 churches of all languages. Most are not in English. And why they have a white guy named Johnson that only speaks English, but they put me in charge. So it's kind of a humorous thing. I'm going to be in Hebrews 11 eventually, after I ramble for a few minutes. Hebrews chapter 11. But I know quite a few people here. It's good to see everyone. So I've been here a number of times. I've been in funerals here and revivals and different ordination services, different services. But I think this is the first time I've been here on a Sunday morning to preach, I think. Of course, I can't remember too well. You know, I'm 62 years old. You know, after a while, you forget a lot of things. I forgot more than I remembered. All right. I'm going to talk today about a controversial subject. Now, Howard, I really appreciate Howard inviting me to come and preach. And I told him I was going to talk about something controversial, but he was okay with it. So, you know, hang on. Because really, this may not sound controversial, but I want to talk today about creation. Creation. I'm assuming that most of us believe in creation. We're going to look at it in the Bible. I mean, we're in a Bible-believing Baptist church. You expect people to believe in creation. But don't assume everything. Because our society has been saturated with evolution thinking for many years. I remember as a kid 50 years ago, we were taught a little bit about evolution. It was kind of an idea, you know, 50 years ago. It was an idea, kind of like creation's an idea. But over 50, 60 years or more, that has been pounded in that it's no longer an idea, but it's taught as fact. Now, we have a lot of teachers that don't believe in evolution, and they have to somehow get around teaching whatever they have to preserve their job. But the higher education you get into college, universities, and so forth, they don't have a choice. They have to teach evolution. They can't even give you an option. In fact, many university professors have lost their jobs because they don't teach evolution, or they don't teach it the right way, so they lose their jobs. So to hang on to their jobs, you never hear about creation from a university, unless maybe it's a Christian school, but even then you kind of wonder. But our society is saturated. Just think, over decades and decades, years and years, never hearing about creation, taking the Bible out, taking prayer out, we have developed a whole society with evolutionary thinking. And so the only place that I know that you can hear about creation is in church. And, you know, really, we assume a lot of things. So we assume you believe in creation. But really, the younger we are, the more confused we get, because we want to believe in the Bible, but we're never taught creation. Are you following me? This is a serious thing. In my thinking, creation is fundamental in every area of your life. I mean, it's fundamental in all of our thinking about any area. And if we take creation out and put in evolution in our thinking, it distorts everything. Very first verse in the Bible is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I never thought I would live long enough where that would become controversial. But certainly is. It may not be controversial here in our church, and hopefully not controversial in most of our churches or all of them, but it is very controversial outside in just in general discussion. In my understanding, there are two things. One, you believe in creation, or two, you believe in evolution. Now there is a third one that actually is making a little bit of headway, and that's believing that aliens came years ago and they planted seeds in the earth. And you know, now if you follow that, that becomes evolution. By the way, I shared this in the first service, and there's a lady there that said that she had a discussion with a taxi driver, and that's what he believed. She had never heard it before. The people do believe. People believe in crazy things. We're just kind of hitting the highlights here. But, I mean, think about it. You got creation and revolution. Now, in creation, you might believe in an old earth or you might believe in a young earth. But in creation, you believe there is a creator, that he has a plan and he has a purpose and he has value, that the things didn't happen by accident, but he's in charge. But in evolution, it's just kind of haphazard. Anything goes, anything can happen, and, you know, just whatever you want. Now in creation, you believe that God is creator. He has a plan. He creates people with purpose. There's value. And eventually, you develop that there is morality. There are rules. There are consequences. There are responsibilities. And really, our society doesn't like that. So evolutionary thinking is, if anything goes, it's all by chance, and eventually it develops, there are no rules. There's no morality. Are you with me? No consequences. Think of our society. If you're like me, you watch the news, and things happen in the news, and we wonder, what are people thinking? Why do they do that? But in our society, we've developed a whole society that anything goes, the survival of the fittest, anything can happen, that you don't have any responsibility or consequences. Then you begin to understand, we created this mess ourselves in our society. Which brings me, you thought I forgot, Hebrews chapter 11. Now, if you follow your Sunday school, I'm teaching Sunday school. I'm a member at Wayside Baptist Church, and next Sunday I'm teaching Sunday school. So I've already looked at my Sunday school. It's this passage. So your lesson might be like this, but we're two totally different ways to look at it. You ever done that? You take a passage of Scripture. So if you're teaching Sunday school or you're in Sunday, you need to go back next week to get this lesson. But it's not this lesson. Anyway, Hebrews 11 begins by saying, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." Verse 3. "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks." Verse 5. "By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found, because God has taken him. For before he was taken, that he had a testimony that he pleased God." Verse 6. "But without faith it is impossible to please him," God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Heavenly Father, once again we pray and just ask for you to help our understanding. And Lord, as I think about our church here today, help us to be able to share the creation message with others. So help us to have a clear understanding and not get confused with all the discussion in the world, but help us to be your witnesses, your missionaries in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so now I got you thinking. You know, as a pastor, we try to get people to think. I'm convinced most churches, we don't think through a lot of things. We just are mindless. We sing songs and don't think through whatever we sang. You hear messages and don't think through. Well, I want to challenge you to think today. You know, we need to be thinkers. We need to think about creation. We need to think about evolution. We need to think about where our society is. When we come to Hebrews 11, verse 1, the Bible says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, I've been accused of having blind faith. Oh, it's just easy to blind faith. Well, no, it's not blind faith. You know, the Bible teaches a certain thing, and I believe it. The Bible's the Word of God. I believe that, and that really sets parameters in all my life because I believe the Bible. You believe the Bible, but do we really believe the Bible? The Bible says that there is substance in what we believe. Now, faith is the substance. That means there's something there. It is the evidence of things not seen. When we, science is not our enemy. Science is good. In fact, there are many scientists who believe God, who believe that God's the creator, but you don't hear about them. In fact, they're really, you know, they're kind of cut off. They're not allowed to be part of the national scientific thinking. But science is not our enemy. Science is good. And science gives us substance, but the Bible is all we need. We don't need anything else. And the Bible says it, you know, we take it. But science can actually help us to understand the Bible as well. It is evidence. I remember back hearing, I've kind of gotten into this, and I've talked with several people already. You can Google creation sciences. There is a lot. I mean, you know, it's good stuff. Some are teaching old earth, some are teaching young earth, but it's good because you have a framework that God is the creator. God is the creator. It's not just anything happens. It's not just survival of the fittest. God has a plan, and he's had a plan, and he's working his plan, and you and I are part of that plan, whether we understand that or not. But there is substance, there is evidence that teaches me to believe that God is right and the Bible is true. There's evidence there. It's not a blind faith. But I've been accused of that. Perhaps you have been accused of it too. But I remember as a kid growing up, evolution was taught, you know, that it could be, the world could have been around millions of years. Well, the longer, I'm 62, the longer I've been around some of this, people have said, evolutionary thinking has said, well, enough time, anything can happen. And then so the time gets extended and extended. It went from being a few million to a few billion years old. There's a big difference in millions to billions. In fact, the latest I've heard is that we're about 20 billion years old. And so anything can happen over time. You know, just any of those changes will take place over time. Well, that to me, that's a little crazy. That's not evidence. That keeps changing. The Bible says certain things. You know, it's just a lot. It's really a lot easier to believe the Bible. It's not blind faith. It's faith in God. And as we read here, it's evidence. It's proof. Verse 3 says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. In other words, we understand the word of God came into being. God spoke it, and things happened. You know, whether you think the world is old or young, God spoke it, and it happened. I mean, that is faith. That is evidence. That's what we believe. Our society, I mean, it's really hard. It's hard to imagine that a logical, sensible, intelligent person would believe that aliens from outer space came and planted seeds in the world. But that's true. I mean, that's true that people believe that. I mean, is that to me, that's harder to believe than believing that the Bible's the Word of God. I mean, it's too logical. The Bible is very logical to me. That's kind of illogical. Or even that the world's 20 billion years old, that it's just kind of, with these kind of things just happen over time. That doesn't make sense to me. But in our society, that makes sense. Or in our society, that's taught as fact. You and I are the oddballs. You and I are the ones that don't walk in sync with the world. The world teaches certain things. You and I are going to be different. You and I are not going to be the way that everyone else is. Now, I know when you're young, you try to kind of hide. You don't want to stand out. You don't want to be the strange oddball person. But I've learned throughout life it's not bad to be strange or odd. You know, that's just the way life is. You know, in Miami, I joke about being a white guy named Johnson who only speaks English. That's a minority. You know, so, you know, I think it's good. I tell my white friends that live up north that, you know, it's good to be a minority. You know, when I grew up, I grew up on a farm in Ohio. I mean, you know, everybody was named Johnson. You know, I was not a minority. You know, so I tell my friends, I say, it's good to be a minority. It's good to learn to stand to be different. Because you and I are different, whether you realize it or not, because we believe something that the world does not believe. We believe that Jesus is the Christ. That God had a plan, and part of his plan was to bring himself, God in the flesh, who came into the world, who lived a sinless life, who lived a perfect life. And what did society do with this wonderful, perfect person? They killed him. He was an oddball. He was different. He was different. They nailed him to the cross. So now you and I try to live a moral life. We try to live a right life. What's the world going to do with us? What is society going to be to us? They're not going to accept us. We'll never be accepted by the world. So I hope you get over that. You know, it doesn't matter how much money you make or don't make, how white you are or how not white you are. You're going to be different in the world. So learn, man, to embrace that. We are different. We have a message for the world. We have God's message in us to share with the world. And it begins, believe it or not, with creation. But there is a purpose and a plan in creation. Look with me in verse 6, Hebrews 11, verse 6. The Bible says here, if I can find it, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we're going to live in this world, we got to have faith. We cannot please God without faith. Are you going to live your life and not believe in creation? You're going to believe in science? You know, it's interesting to me. Two scientists can approach the same evidence. One's a Christian scientist, not a scientist who's a Christian, and one is a scientist that's an atheist. Now, they will look and evaluate the very same material and come to two different conclusions. The scientist, who's a Christian, will come and say, wow, look at this. This is neat. God did this. Wow, this is awesome. Look what God is. Look what he did. Look at this. The atheist never thinks that, sees the very same thing, but God is not part of their mind. They're not part of their thought process. They never see God. Why? Because their minds were already made up before they even evaluated the information. You and I are like that. We believe in God. We believe in his word. Our minds are made up. So whenever we go through life, and we see certain things, we go, wow, look what God is doing. Or, oh, God, you need to step in. Or, you know, God is part of our framework. He's part of our thinking. I shared this illustration with the first service. If I take off my glasses, I can still see you. In fact, some of you look a lot better. You're a little fuzzy, which can be better, like in Joe's case. But if I take off my glasses, I still breathe, my heart beats. It doesn't really change my health. I just can't see very well. But believe it or not, I can drive. You may not want to be around me when I drive. But when I put my glasses on, you come into focus. Life comes into focus. You and I, as believers, need the Word of God in our hearts and our minds because the Bible helps us to see things. It brings life into focus when we have the Word of God in our minds, in our hearts. We begin to understand. The world doesn't have that. You and I have that. You and I have the opportunity to hide God's Word in our heart, in our mind, and be able to see things that the world doesn't see. Man, that's great. That's a great opportunity. And as a believer with God's word in our heart, he is going to lead us into a moral life. Yeah, just think. Wouldn't you want to be a neighbor? You want to be someone's neighbor who believes in morality, who believes in a purpose, who believes that God has something special for them, than somebody who doesn't believe in anything? Somebody, you know, a neighbor that just anything, no rules, no morals, no consequences, no responsibility. I've had neighbors like that. And you and I are sent to pray for them and to witness to them. But I don't want to be a neighbor like that. 1926 was a long time ago. That was the year my mom was born, 1926. Now she died a few years ago. She's with the Lord in heaven. But in 1926, she was conceived when her mother was raped. Her mother was raped, and my mom, this little baby that came into the world, nobody wanted her. Her mom didn't want her. The relatives didn't want her. And so she was given to this family and that family, and she really didn't land in any home the whole time she was growing up. Now, why do I say that? Well, I used to blame my mother for all of our problems. She didn't know how to be a mother. You know, she married my dad as an escape route, and he wasn't too good of a guy. So I didn't grow up in a Christian home. Now, it looked like my mom, nobody wanted her. She had no value. Praise God there wasn't abortion back then. Or at least I can praise God there wasn't abortion back then. But along came me and my two sisters. When I was 20 years old, I was in the Navy. I joined the Navy as a way to escape. I didn't know what to do. I floundered around, and the only thing I knew what to do, I joined the military. This is back in the 70s. If some of you have been alive in the 70s, it was a different era back then. You know, that's when everybody had long hair. All the guys had long hair. I joined the Navy and got short hair. But anyway, in the Navy, I was invited to church. I had never been to church. And a friend of mine invited me. He said, there'd be a lot of girls there. So I went to check out the girls. But to make a long story short, I heard the gospel, and one of those girls' mother actually shared the gospel with me, and I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. I was 20 years old when I prayed and asked Jesus into my heart. He changed me. He changed me from the inside out. He literally changed me. In 4 years, I saw every person in my family come to faith in Christ. My mom, my stepdad, my two sisters, their two husbands. And I love to tell my story. And you probably heard it because I've shared it a lot. Because I figure if God can do that in me, he can do that in anybody. But it wasn't long ago I thought over our whole family. And in my extended family, there are over 50 people who are Christians. 50. 50. Many of them have went on to be with the Lord now, but like my mom. But here's what I'm trying to say is my mom in 1926 was a baby that nobody wanted. She came from a family that was not good, and nobody wanted my mom. And growing up, she was not a good mother. She was a terrible mother. The worst day in my life is Mother's Day. I was a preacher. I'm supposed to preach Mother's Day. I never have been able to preach a Mother's Day message, but I could think of my wife, who is a good mother. God's got a plan for everybody. We may not see it. We may not understand it. But in the big picture, when you step back and I think of all these years, my mom was 51 when she came to faith in Christ. Who would have known that her son would be a preacher? And I've got three adult kids. They're all three in the ministry today. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on God. He can see things that you and I cannot see. He understands things that you and I do not understand. And it may be a long time before things fall into place, but that's the rejoicing that you and I have, that God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a value in every person. Every person has value that he knows, and he reveals that his desires, that he reveals himself through each one of us. Do we trust him? Do we trust him? God's got a plan. He's the creator. And I can share that today with just all confidence in the world. If we trust God and just watch what he does, we begin to see his plan. Now, I'm at the age now, I'm getting old. Well, I'm not getting old. I've been old for a couple years. But looking back at age 62, you can begin to understand these things that I didn't understand at age 20 or age 30 or age 40. But boy, at 62, they seem to make sense. And God has a way of blending all those things together for good, for his honor, for his glory, for his purpose. Do you trust him?